you just knew that you prayed with faith and you done everything just right, and it didn't happen just exactly the way you thought it was going to happen. There's about three of them said amen. The rest of you need to repent and get an altar right quick. I don't know whether you know this or not, but we're not God. There's a teaching and a belief that there's a lot of little gods around, and you know, we can speak it into existence and all this. But it may be a rude awakening, but you're not God. And without God, you're in trouble. The very breath that you breathe belongs to God. I had studied all week with the thought of the millennial kingdom and full intentions and feeling like that was the direction that we were going. And maybe the Lord will let me talk about that Wednesday night for a little bit. But as of yesterday morning, the Holy Spirit began to talk to me, speak to me. And I began to look at some scriptures that He brought to my mind. So this morning I can give you what I studied up, or I can give you what God placed on my heart. In Matthew 6 and 10, it says, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We understand this morning that Christ taught us to pray. He taught us to pray, "Thy will be done." But behind this simple statement is the essential attitude that every Christian should have. I don't know how you feel this morning. I'm proud God did give me everything I asked for. I'd be in a mess. And if you're here and you one of those that say that God gives you everything you ask for, I'll meet you in the altar here pretty quick. Now, I want to give you just an overview of Matthew 6 just for a moment. It won't take me long, but in Matthew 6, 5 through 13, we find that Jesus taught us about prayer. You see, if we're ever going to grow in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to know how to pray. Nothing can take place of your prayer life. Now, I know some people that seem to think that they got it all nailed down. And I've seen people that can pray one of the most beautiful prayers that you could ever ask for. But can I tell you that they may not be the one that's really getting the job done? It may be that grandma, that grandpa, that's in the prayer closet praying. But we find in the scriptures here that Jesus taught us about prayer. In verse 5, it says, "And when thou prayest," then say, "if you happen to pray." But when? How many know that? You may not be praying now, but the Bible says that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. So you're going to pray. "So when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to stand, they love pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets." Now we understand that they have a purpose behind this. What is the purpose? "That they may be seen of men." That they may be seen of men. Try this sometimes, and it may backfire on you, but I've done it. Somebody asks you to pray over the food, just bow your head and whisper a prayer. Nobody hears you. Then at the end, say amen. Then there's going to be those that's going to ask you, "Well, I couldn't hear anything you prayed." And I said, "Well, I wasn't talking to you." But notice what He said to those folks. He said, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." What is their reward? They were seen of men. But notice what verse says. He said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Can I ask you a simple question? Do you have a prayer closet? I mean a place where you can close everything else off and talk to God. If not, can I encourage you here today to find you a prayer closet somewhere that you can get along with God? But notice what verse 7 says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Have you ever asked somebody to pray over the food? By the time they got done, the food was cold. And we learn who to ask. Amen. But you see, if we've got a prayer closet, we don't have to stand up and do all this other stuff just to be seen. Nothing wrong, understand. I'm not making light. I'm just giving you what I feel He gave me. So don't use vain repetition. Then He said in verse 8, "But be not ye therefore likened to them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." Can I get a witness right there that God knows what you need before you even ask Him? The very hair on our head is numbered. You can't hide from Him. He knows your thoughts. Come on. He knows all about you. So He knoweth what things you have need of, even before you asked Him. He knows. Then He went on
in verse 9, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Can I say this morning that not everyone will accept what I'm going to say in this message today? But where you accept it or not, I've got to stand before God on what I preach. So my goal this morning is to... help some people that are confused, discouraged. Sometimes we feel like God's a million miles away. And sometimes we pray and we don't feel like that it's done any good. Am I talking to anybody? I'm going to be the first to say this morning that I believe that we as Christians are living way below what God has intended for us to have. I want to be up front with that. See, I believe God's got many things in store for Christians. My Lord, we're blessed. Blessed going in, blessed going out. Every step we take, we have the blessings of the Lord upon it. But you can be a Christian and yet not be living up to the fullness of everything God's got. The prodigal son. Everything his daddy had belonged to him. But look where he was at, in the hog pen. So this morning, it is my goal to help you to begin to accept God's Word and begin to live the blessed life and have the fullness of everything that God has for you. I also feel this morning that it's important for me to say that I believe that we need to pray in faith. Listen to me close. We need to pray in faith. We need to pray in Jesus' name. Can I get a witness? I'm going to feel better if I can get a witness after I say what I'm fixing to say about this. We need to pray in faith. We need to pray in the name of Jesus. And we need to leave the results to God. It's not our responsibility to try to manipulate God in doing what we want Him to do. We pray about it. We release our faith and we accept it, and then we lead the results up to God. In other words, we put our confidence in God. Now, what I'm about to say is there's people that have lost their confidence because they have asked for things and they didn't get it right then. Then they lose her faith. They lose her confidence. But how many know that they that wait upon the Lord, He said He would renew their strength.
We would mount up as wings of eagles. Now, you know the scripture. Not going to go any farther, but I'm here to tell you, I hate it when God said, in a minute. You know me and I know you. Don't look so religious. You do the same thing I do. You stand in front of the bun coffee pot saying, how long does it take? You stand in front of the microwave and you plug it in, you turn it on, and you can't believe that it took so long to warm it up. We're minute people. We live in a world. Once again, this morning, I was feeling real spiritual until the red light at McDonald's. How long does it take for a light to turn from red to green? Then, when it turns green, I'm behind an old red pickup that ought to have a ticket for parking on the highway. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We're minute people. We love minute rice. And we pray about things and we get offended at God. We get mad at the church. We get mad at everybody because we don't get what we want instantly. My. So it's important that we have our confidence and our faith in God and leave the results to Him. But we try to help God. Go ahead and admit it. You've done the same thing. You prayed about your children, then you went right out there and tried to fix it for them. Come on. We pray about things and then we want to help God do it instead of putting our faith and our confidence in a Heavenly Father that knows our needs before we even ask and say, God, I'm believing that You're going to come through. Hallelujah. I'm about to have a shouting fit. Amen. See, this thing went through me before it gets to you. I've come to the conclusion that it's not my job to help God. It's my job to put my faith in God, but not to help Him. Now, let me also say that sometimes we pray and we feel that if we have enough faith, you're going to get quiet on me now. That's all right. Lord, if we could just get enough faith, then I know it would happen. How many of you have been prayed by people? Let me use you. He's got a need. We try to help God because in Jesus' name, what time I get through, I'm done mad. Thank you. Oh, let me fix your hair back. I'm sorry. The Lord taught me early, you don't do that to a woman. Amen. That demon, it'll come out. I had this man, I've shared this with you. And I wanted everything God had. He'd get down there and all the women, he'd sit there and go, look, that was there. I was too mad to get anything from God. We trying to help God. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. But how many times have we been prayed for? And, you know, the Bible talks about, call the elders and sheriffs, let them anoint them with oil in the prayer of faith. And then we, you know, we want to see results instantly. Then there's those super spiritual people that they'll
Have faith. Don't lose your faith. Then we put the guilt on the person that's asking for the elders to pray over them. Use their faith. Then we put that guilt on that individual. I didn't get what I needed because I ain't got faith. Can I tell you, faith can move mountains. And I'm not downgrading that, but I want to tell you, you need to be careful how you minister to people because they're calling you because their faith is weak. And I want to say to them, pray with faith. My faith is weak. I'm sick. Anybody didn't know what I'm talking about? I believe that's why he said, call them, because you're sick. Your faith is weak. Would anybody here be honest with you? When you were sick, did you really feel like your faith was moving mountains? No, no, no. You feel like God's a million miles away. That's why I need you to pray the prayer of faith. Am I making any sense? Gary, I know you done got this message. Just come up here and finish it. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We do it all the time. But what I'm saying is, be careful. Because you're dealing with people that are very delicate and you need to handle them right because they can leave and be mad at God because I feel like I had faith but I didn't get what I was praying for. Amen. But how many know that somehow we pray and we pray and we pray and sometimes we don't see anything, but I want to tell you on God's timing. My blessed Lord, there's a breakthrough in the house for some. Somebody. Gary preached about that rain. He kept going back and looking, nothing. Go again, nothing, go again and nothing. I wish Brian Rowe was here. I'd have him running back there again. Amen. You couldn't have picked anybody better to do that. Sometimes you don't see nothing. Sometimes you don't feel nothing. But that don't mean a thing. I said, that does not mean a thing. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong. Amen. Yeah, have faith. Yeah, come on, church. Have faith. Don't lose your confidence in God. Amen. Have faith. I'm not saying that that is wrong. But sometimes we pray with faith, but yet we don't get the results that we're expecting. Follow me. Stretch forward your hands this way. I got a Chevrolet pickup out there. In the name of Jesus, when this service is over, I want a brand new pickup out there. Steve, can you see? You kind of keep your eye open there. They could bring it any minute.
Okay.
Now, I'm here to tell you, I believe you ought to pray over your finances. I believe you ought to pray over your home, your job, and all that. I believe it's God's will to bless us, even with our finances. But yet, sometimes we got everything out of perspective. We want a new truck, but we ain't worried about our neighbor down the street that's dying going to hell. We're not worried about our church. Amen. Some of you prayed for boats, and it's kept you out of church a lot. I'm praying God sink it. You see what I'm saying? You know, you can get all out of whack. Sometimes God knows what you need and He knows what will be a stumbling block for you. Ron, I wish you'd turned it over to me 10 minutes early because I'm afraid we're going to go all the way to 12 o'clock. My goal is to beat the Baptist folks to sizzling. But sometimes we pray with faith, but we don't see any results. We want to see something. We want to feel something. That's not faith. My truck out there yet?
Robert, you may have to go get it for me. It may be down at the Chevrolet place. Good to have you and your family today.
But sometimes we pray and we don't see the results that we're expecting. And some of us Pentecostals, oh, don't get high-minded. Some of you Baptists, you Methodists, you know, we get all high and mighty, you know, that we'd get where we need to be. We'd start seeing things. Now, I understand. We've fallen away a lot. But I want to tell you, you can live at the foot of the cross and you can't manipulate God. That truck out there yet? In Jesus' name. Now, I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong about praying for your vehicle. Just stay with me. I know where I'm going. See, if they don't get here in the next few minutes, Gary's got a newer truck. It's about parked right out here if he intends. Switch them. Senior pastor ought to be driving that new truck, right? I'll agree. Amen. Everybody agree? All right. We got that solved. Now, could it be? Now, I'm just asking you a question. Now, could it be that we only have half of our doctrine right? See, here's the problem. We want to run over here and get a couple of scriptures. And we want to run over here and we want to make a doctrine out of it. But if you really want to have the fullness of God, you got to have the full counsel of the Word of God. You can't take a scripture here and a scripture here and this is the way it is. And my truck out there yet? You see what I'm talking about? We just take a scripture. Can I tell you that you can pretty well make the scripture tell you anything if you're going to take it out of context? Now, I've got to get this nailed down. We've got to have the whole counsel of the Word of God. Right? Example, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, many of you have the riches of God, the riches of His glory in your life, but that's not enough. I'm still praying for my new truck. Is it out there yet, Steve? He has supplied your every need, but you have lost your confidence in God because you've asked for something and you didn't see it happen. I remind you of James 4:3 that says, you asked, you received not, because you asked amiss. Did I need a new truck? Sister Deard, I didn't ask you. I needed one. I think I ought to look cool, don't you? I'm tired of Gary driving up in that new truck. Me driving up my old truck. I want to look cool like Gary. But how many know that God has supplied my every need? I've not had to walk to church one time. Amen. I don't live in the most beautiful house. It's home. I've had beautiful homes and built one that, my goodness, it looked awesome, but it didn't feel like home. Where I live is home. God has supplied my needs. And I'm thankful. Go ahead and sit there and drive up on God if you want to. I'm just going to praise God that He has given me a car to drive, a house to live in. He's blessed me. My blessed Lord. Sometimes it's always won't, 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 and we can't thank God for what we've got. I don't know where you came from today, but I'm glad you're here. Amen. I like how you're helping me.
Maybe it's me, I don't know. But how many know He will supply your needs according to His riches and glory? Now, a lot of people don't apply the whole counsel of the Word of God, and they believe that if you asked in faith and you asked in Jesus' name, then whatever you ask for is going to happen. I'm glad everything I've asked God for didn't happen. Pay close attention to 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." The key word in this verse is according to His will. I don't like to use personal illustration, but I'm going to. Stay with me just for a few minutes. My first church was in Roswell, New Mexico. I was assigned to it, never, and rejected it. And you've heard the story. It was split over two women that bought a piano. Both of them wanted to play it. And they split the church. Well, here's the problem. I'm bringing the third piano player in. Wisdom says this ain't going to work. Amen. All right. I left there and unloaded my van in the parsonage at the Adamsburg Church of God, which state overseer, the organization I was in at that time, he said there's no churches and everything. And I went to Roswell, New Mexico, and all of a sudden they washed churches. And they placed me there. And we have some here today that was there. Jimmy Hughes, I looked back there at him. First time I saw him, I thought he's going to be my problem. But we unloaded there, and boy, I want to tell you, beautiful church and all this. And you understand, we left good jobs. Went to Roswell, New Mexico. And I told Rhonda, I said, it just ain't, it's just this not it. And somebody said, you mean you went all the way to Roswell, New Mexico and left your jobs and everything, went all the way to Roswell, New Mexico to take a church and turned it down? Yes. But the story is, that was for me. I sold out. I said, Lord, I don't have to have this good job. Don't have to have all this stuff. We got rid of everything but what we could get in a van. And we went. And then God started opening doors. Just like that. Okay. Pastored Adamsburg for 10 years. And Rhonda, you correct me if I tell it wrong when we get home. Don't correct me up in front of all my people. I mean, we struggled. I'm praying for a church. God sends me to a church, Roswell, New Mexico. It's a long way back to Adamsburg. Somebody said one time, said, well, you stayed there longer than any pastor. I said, it's a long trip back. But it was a struggle. I'm talking about gas, keeping gas in the tank, and they filled up this big old tank, and the week I got there, the heat had stayed on, and it run all the gas out, and had automatic kick-ons and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, man, alive. They don't have any money, and we done put, you know, and the gas and all that. And my goodness, and you know the story, most of you do. We sold more chicken dinners than, Lord have mercy, chickens, donuts. I got so tired of selling. Oh, Lord have mercy. You know, have you been to church where they give an offering as two chickens? That's what we was doing, two chickens, you know. I'm helping to keep the church going, and you know, I felt like I was living back in the 30s when, you know, they paid tithes with bringing chickens to the pastor and eggs and pigs and all this kind of. That's what I thought. But we sold, and I told this story. You know, we down on the red light on 35. I got up early that morning, went and got a load of donuts. I mean, my truck was full. Tempted all the way back to eat them. Set up there, we're selling donuts. We're trying to pay the payments. We're trying to keep them loose and everything.
This tractor trailer come in there and turned and run over a whole stack of my donuts. In Jesus' name. I thought we're gonna lose the church over this truck driver. Well, I delivered plates at V.I. Pruitt's, and I had this box full of plate, and I stepped up, and when I got to the door, the bottom came out. Chicken and dressing went everywhere. We're gone. We've lost it. And they can, Jimmy Sherrill, tell me if I'm telling you wrong. The Lord birthed something in me that if I could trust God with my finances, if I can trust Him with my salvation, can I not trust Him with my finances? And I got up one Sunday and I said, from this day on, see, here's what people were doing. They were buying chickens and anything they could to cook. And boy, we was killing ourselves. Men run to taking this and delivering it and trying to, and they wouldn't tithing. So I got up one Sunday and I said, no more. We'll never sell donuts ever again. And Dylan, I appreciate what you're doing, but I still draw up when you sell stuff. I'm just so afraid we're going to get back. No, I'm joking. But anyway, we'll never do this again because God's got a plan for the church, and the church plan is through tithes and offering. And can I tell you that we broke every record from that day on while people were saying we're going to lose our church, we're not going to make it, how in the world are we going to survive? We broke every tithing record, and when I left that church, there was $30,000 in the account. Now, I said all that to say this. Well, let me back up. Any Church of God friends here? I made the statement that the Church of God emblem ought to be a chicken with a donut around its neck. So anyway, to make a long story short, God blessed that church from that day on. Broke every record. Everything is wonderful. I'm talking about my blessed Lord. We're not having to deliver plates. We're not having to go get donuts. We're not having to do all this. God bless the church. Everything is fine. 10 years. Been there longer than any pastor had ever been there. My blood pressure. All of a sudden. Now, it's selling donuts and plates is what caused it, just a delayed effect. My truck out there yet? My blood pressure went up just like that. I didn't know what was wrong. I didn't even have a family doctor. I didn't even go to the doctor. I'd lay in the bed. My head was just a pounding. I was pounding and pounding. I thought, what in the world's going on? Didn't feel like doing anything. And all of a sudden, these women... You can talk to me or the boss in the family. It's up to you. They have a way of maneuvering you where they want, even though they don't just accidentally just say it. They just have a way of nudging you, right? Well, next thing I know, I'm at the doctor, and I don't even have a family doctor. I'm at the doctor, and he said, your blood pressure is at stroke stage. He said, what do you do? I said, pastor. Well, he took me out of the pulpit for 6 weeks. Boy, I want to tell you, you talk about making your blood pressure go up. Amen. You get pulled out of the pulpit. 6 weeks out of the pulpit. I'm doing good. Everything's fine. Blood pressure's normal. I go back to the pulpit after 6 weeks. Guess what happened? Blood pressure went sky high again. Well, here I am. Lord, I know in Jesus' name you able to heal me of this blood pressure problem in Jesus' name. Is my truck out there yet? I mean, I done it. Get the elders, let them pray over you. Then I get told, you know, have faith. I want to say, once again, that's your faith. My faith's weak. I go back to the pulpit, same thing. Takes me out of the pulpit again. 6 weeks. Now, the moral of this story, this happened 3 times.
The moral of this story is, God didn't heal me of that, because over a year before that, God had birthed in me that I was to start this church. Are you with me? But I was in hog heaven. I wasn't selling donuts. I wasn't selling chicken dinners. I mean, the church was where I wanted it when I went there, and everything is good, and I believe I could have stayed there for the rest of my life. But yet God birthed in me the starting of this church, and I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And all of a sudden, God didn't hear my prayer. How many know that God has a way of maneuvering you? Just like the women, He can maneuver you in the way that He needs to maneuver you. Sometimes you'll pray over something. We don't understand why it's the way it is, but yet in months, years, you'll look back and say, I see what God did. And through that, we took a year off filling in for pastors. I had a ball. I'd go in, I'd preach, and I didn't even cut the lights off. Didn't have to food with the thermostats. Didn't have to fix nothing that week. I mean, everything was wonderful. I could do this for the rest of my life. But yet, God birthed this. We started this church in 1990 with about 19 to 20 people in my basement. Amen. God provided a building the next Sunday. Amen. And God has blessed this church beyond measure. I can't outrun the blessings of the Lord. Amen. But because I prayed, God didn't do anything. He birthed this church through it. All right, I've got to quit. There's a big question that I need to ask you. Do you want everything you ask for? Or do you want to put your confidence in God and pray, Thy will be done? Don't tell me you're super spiritual until you get to the place that you can pray, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. Oh, as Rhonda's coming to the piano, it just makes you feel better. It makes me feel better. Can I ask you a question? Did Jesus lose His faith? Undoubtedly, He must have had. Because in the garden, He prays three times, Lord, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. I'm talking about Jesus Himself. Let it pass, but nevertheless, it Thy will be done. Sometimes we want to manipulate God when God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. If you go to 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, you'll find that Paul, just like Jesus, three times asked the Lord to remove the thorn in his flesh. And I can hear some of them now saying, Paul, you'll get where you need to be with God. God will remove that. Paul, have faith. Paul, pray in Jesus' name. Don't lose your faith. But he didn't. God come back and said, He never moved the thorn, but He come back and He said, My grace is sufficient for you. And I've come to tell somebody here this morning that God's grace is sufficient for whatever you're going through. Amen? You may not see results instantly, but He'll give you grace to make it. Would you stand? Sometimes we pray about things, we get confused. We don't see results. I was 35 years old. Something began to happen in my body and I didn't know what it was. Local doctors, fibromyalgia. I heard that, I dreamed about it at night. Sent me to a specialist in Birmingham, and They said, don't never let another doctor tell you, said you got inflammation in your joints. And for years now, I've had shots in my hips, my heels, every joint just about in my body, until I refused to take them anymore because of what it was doing. Brother Gary, I've had the best of them praying for me. I prayed and I've sought God. There's been times that I was confused. 2011, 6 month checkup. The report was, when I went back, you got prostate cancer. And I want to tell you, Steve, when you hear that word out of a doctor's mouth, I mean, it'll knock the feet out Monday. They said, we need to deal with it. Trying to think of the word that they used. No, that's not it. But anyway, we aggressively. We need to deal with it aggressively. And I thought, well, all right, I'll be back in a few minutes. I'm headed to the house. I'll get me some pajamas. We're headed to surgery. I'm getting this taken care of. 4 weeks later, I'm having to get it done. I need to look up aggressively and see what that means. Well, I was prayed for by the best. But I'm here to tell you that's 2011. And I'm cancer free today. God's good. God's good. But I have sought God, prayed, listened to people, left feeling defeated, feeling like it was maybe something I've done. I'd even divorce run if it had helped. But nothing worked. And out of the blue, my daughter, Shannon, she's not here today. They're on vacation, and I wish she'd been here to hear this. All of a sudden, she started having the same symptoms that I was going through. Left foot, hurting all the time. Hips hurting, pain all over my body. We were sitting there one night and she was fixing to have surgery. And she said, Daddy, does your left foot hurt? Where's it hurt at? I pointed at it. Your leg hurt right here? Yes. Does this hurt right here? Yes. She said, Daddy, you're going to my doctor. And I want to say, we've been praying about this for years. And all they tell me is pain management, inflammation, tendonitis, bursitis, just pain management. To make a long story even longer, I went to her doctor. And her doctor says, I want to take x-ray, took x-ray, and they started showing me different things. And I'd already seen that, already knew, had those issues. He said, have you ever had an MRI done? I said, they've never done an MRI. He looks back on the records and he said, I am so confused why any doctor would allow you to come into their place and tell them what you've told me and them not do an MRI. He said, for every doctor you've ever went to, don't go back to them. They did an MRI, put me in this little tube and put earplugs. And I thought, man, earplugs don't need them. I just kind of stuck them there, but I didn't even push them in. And after that first buzzard went off in that thing, and I'm not supposed to move. I'm just like that. I can't move and I can't get my hands to my ear. I like the one Dale. But we got the results back. Now, remember, this started at age 35. 4 bulging discs. A severe narrowing of the spinal canal, compressing my nerves, going down my body. This is after 13 doctors and specialists. This may not mean nothing to you, but when you've been told all these years, pain management, have to live with it. I see a light at the end of the tunnel. I sure hope it ain't a freight train. Listen to me. When you go to the doctor, you need to start praying for that doctor to have the mind of God. And don't do spiritual like I used to. I'd go to the doctor and I'd say, Lord, help them not to find nothing. Maybe that's what happened to me. They couldn't find it. We need to pray for something there. Help them to find it. We can name it. And we can start praying about it. This may not mean anything to you, but I'm here to tell you, I feel like I'm as close to God as I've ever been, but I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed, and I've never seen the results till now. God sometimes will say in a minute, bow your heads. You're here this morning and you're at that place in your life. You prayed about things and you've not seen any results. Or maybe you're at that place that you have lost your faith, your confidence. You know, to pray about something and leave it in the hand of God. I'm here to tell you, God's able to renew your faith. He's able to renew your confidence in Him. I told the Lord this morning in my study, Lord, from this day on, I'm going to pray about things and I'm going to leave the results in your hands. I'm not going to blame nobody. I'm just going to leave the results in your hands. And that's where you got to get. You got to get to the place that you can say, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. If you need something from the Lord, I'll pray with you. I'll believe God for you.